Plain AD and Woosh Kitan of the Ak Kwan. We are on their ancestral homeland. Our broadcast studios are built on fill that was once tideland and part of what is called the Indian Village. We recognize those families who regarded the tidelands as a source of food and part of their home, who traveled to and from their homes from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages. The families of the Juneau Indian Village, like their ancestors, cherish and depend upon their immediate connection to the waterfront. KTOO is working to lift up Tlingit voices through the sharing of stories like these and the broadcast of the Tlingit language. Please excuse us for our mistakes and gunos chish for your patience as we learn. Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juneau with locally roasted organic coffee, locally roasted coffee for over 40 years with 7 cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juneau. More at heritagecoffee.com. I am your host, Shelley Delaney, and my guest today is Rosita Worrell. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, would you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Sure. Yedeklatak Hakahani Yukhatuasak. My Tlingit names are Kahani and Yedeklatak. To others, I'm known as Rosita Worrell, the president of the Alaska Heritage Institute.
Well, thank you for speaking with me today. And you're here, you're talking with us to update us on the Alaska Heritage Institute operations. To begin, what is your status at this time?
Out of concern, you know, for the health and the safety of our employees, our constituents and the public, we closed down the Sealaska Heritage offices, and including our retail stores, last Wednesday. That was March 18th. And although our offices are closed, I like to tell people that we are continuing to provide services in a very different way, but we are there. We can be reached either by phone or through our email, and I hope I could invite people to look at our website to see all of the continuing activities that we are doing in a lot of it in different ways, but we are meeting our obligations, and we want to meet our responsibilities to our community.
Is a lot of your staff teleworking right now?
Yes, yeah. I will tell you that, when the crisis began to emerge, we immediately began to discuss, the need for telecommuting or working off-site. And so we immediately started working on what would be the policies, how would be the procedures, how would we do that, and then we finally made the decision. And so right now, of our 65 employees, we have more, like about 90% of them are probably working off-site, and the others are the essential ones, I'd like to have our COO there in case anything goes wrong. Anything needs to be addressed right away, he's there. And then, of course, we have to have our finance office officer there and our facilities person. So we have a very skeleton crew at the building, but I could want to assure you that all the rest of our employees are working very diligently and trying to figure out how do we meet our responsibilities in this new way. And so the word for us is virtual programming. And so we've been having a lot of meetings about throughout the whole staff, and then each department has been meeting and discussing ways that they can continue to provide their services to the public and to our constituents. I've said to staff, I like to look at things, even though we know this is a terrible time, this is a crisis, there are a lot of hardships that are going on. We have a lot of people suffering as a consequence of this virus. But we also like to look at what opportunities does it create for us. And I've said that this whole thing of virtual programming, reaching out to our constituents in new ways, I think is going to be a wave of the future, and also help us better reach our people who are living in rural villages, remote villages that aren't always, villagers who are not always able to make it into Juneau and other urban centers. So we're looking at this as an opportunity of how do we improve our services to reach a broader group of people.
Well, that's a really positive approach.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As we all know, a lot of lectures, workshops, events that your organization was coordinating have been canceled. And you're going to be making a decision about celebration on April 15th. How are some other ways you are continuing to engage in the public? You hosted a virtual competition.
Oh, yes, I think, and I do have to give credit to Kyle Wuerl that, you know, I mean, the athletes were already distraught, you know, when the competition was canceled. The Arctic Winter Games were canceled mm-hmm. in Whitehorse, and then the other games in Anchorage were canceled. So they came up with the idea of a virtual competition. And we learned a lot. You know, we don't have all of the right technology yet, but we will. But we did have enough. You know, we had to put sheets up on the wall for, you know, for the projector. But it worked out really well. But I did have to scold them a little bit because I saw a photo of them where they were sitting next to each other. And we, you know, promised oh, really? Parents and family that we would practice the social distancing. So that was the very first thing that, you know, that we did. But I would tell you, we're really lucky to have, I would say, young and tech-savvy staff. So they came up with a lot of different ideas. We have our daily YouTube post that features videos from our SHI collections, new and old collections. We have a very active Baby Raven Reads program. And they developed some children's activities and publications and literacy kits, and then also some, you know, some advice to parents of how do you deal with children in this new reality that we're living in. So I was very proud of our staff person who developed, you know, this kind of what to do with kids, how to respond to them in this new reality. And then we're also planning our virtual First Friday. You know, the first Friday of every month, we usually have our artists come out and sell their work. So we're planning a virtual First Friday, and we're going to have artist-led Instagram takeovers beginning in April. So, and then we have photos of many of our objects that are going online. We're already looking at our online language classes and art classes, and then, of course, you know, the hard hit. Well, there are many elements, or many population groups that are, you know, hard hit by the shutdown of offices, the disappearance of the visitor industry, but we've been very concerned about our Native artists, our artists actually in general, because in our store we represent about 300 different artists. So we are looking at ways to promote Native art and artists throughout through Shopify, and then we're also building up our virtual art market. So, you know, we're very busy doing a lot of different things. So,
and are you able to stay connected with some of our smaller communities that are a little bit more far flung from Juneau, like Hoona and Angoon, places like that?
Well, we are, but we need to do better. I could tell you that, you know, this time is making us look at ways, you know, that now that we are not able to travel to the communities, you know, we're looking at things very much like what we did with our virtual competition. How can we still continue our, you know, Baby Raven Reads? And we do have people, you know, contractors who are living out in those villages. So some of them are able to continue, you know, with our activities. Of course, we're always wishing that we could do more, but, you know, I think we've, you know, been developing SHI in the last 10 years so that we could spend more, you know, more of our activities and times in the villages, and that comes from, you know, having the ability to hire people in our villages. I've always said that we'll never save the language and culture from Sea Alaska Plaza One, that we have to be community-based, and that's our goal, you know, to try to do that. But there is one thing I did want to say is that we had been publicizing that we were going to make the announcement about Celebration 2020 on April 15th. But we've had a lot of inquiries, and as a result of that, the board will be meeting this Friday, March 27th, to make that decision. So, okay. Yeah, we'll bring that out sooner.
Well, we'll await word on that. And as far as staying connected to the public, I think virtual First Friday is a great idea.
Yeah,
so I really
yeah.
look forward to that. I'm sure you won't be the only organization to do something for First Friday virtually.
Yeah.
Ms. Worrell, you said in your statement on the Sea Alaska Heritage website, quote, "We recognize the gravity of the challenge we face, but there is also great opportunity for creativity and achievement." How have you managed to be creative in these past few weeks?
Well, like I said, you know, already if you've visited our website, you'll see, you know, that we're doing a lot more, bringing more of our programs out to the public in that way. We continue to meet, you know, because the office is closed, it doesn't mean that, you know, we've continued to meet with different constituent groups. So we've been having ongoing discussions, you know, with educators, you know, and I will tell you, a great concern that we have is, you know, what will be the impact of the closure of schools on Native students? And, you know, that is our major concern. Those are our primary constituents, although I have to say that our programs are open, you know, to non-Native students as well. But our priority has been, you know, Native students. And so right now we're very concerned for students, for our youth. What does a social isolation mean for our children? What will be the impacts? And how are we going to be able to address that? So that's consuming a lot of our energies as well, you know, in addition to trying to figure out how do we provide our services in this new way, but what are we going to have to do after? Because I'm just, you know, knowing history and knowing that a lot of our youth still continue to suffer from historical trauma, we suspect, you know, that the social isolation, the problems that our children may be having, you know, in not being able to go to school, we suspect, you know, there are going to be some changes and some things that need to be addressed by educators, by public institutions that serve our constituents. So, I mean, there's just, I naively thought that I was going to be able to do some writing, and that's not the case. You know, we've just been busy every moment, you know, trying to figure out how do we make sure that our services continue, you know, through a virtual platform and through, you know, telephone calls, and how do we do this? It's been very challenging, but, you know, exciting. And like I said, I think we're lucky in that we have good staff and tech-savvy staff.
Yeah, very much so. And I too, have not found myself with the mountain of free time that so many other people have seemed to have found, but that's showbiz. Dr. Worrell, are you telecommuting today yourself?
Yes, I am. I started to do that last Tuesday, and I'm telling you, I told my staff that I'm used to working at home in the early mornings and at night and on weekends, but I don't know how to work, you know, at home the full day. And the first day, I think I worked 12 hours, and I didn't get out of my bathrobe. I told people that I'm going to try to design some business attire bathrobes. So.
There you go. You're getting creative already.
Yeah.
Well, what are you looking forward to the most when all this has passed us by, apart from your new bathrobe venture project?
I look forward, you know, to being together with all of our staff. More than anything, I think teamwork is, you know, been our success at SHI, is that we have a good, you know, good set of people that know how to work together, and just being able to come. And I think probably the great thing that I'd love the most is our luncheons. You know, we have birthdays. We celebrate birthdays once a month, and, you know, and we have, when we first started, we had 6 employees, and now we're up to 65, and so we've even had to be creative. How do we fit all of our staff into our small conference room, which has become a small conference room? So, and these luncheons are great. You know, I think they enhance teamwork. But, and generally, we have one of our board members, Albert Kukesh, and he comes and he tells, you know, a story or a parable, or it's just a great time for us to get together, as a team. I think more than anything, I'll be missing those lunches, and maybe we'll have to figure out get on that platform where we could all eat together. So, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes, there's a lot of ways to do that. I did that with a couple of friends over the weekend. So, well, thank you so much for sharing all of this wonderful information about Sea Alaska Heritage Institute. I found a lot of the information on your website. Is there any other place where we can find updates about Sea Alaska or learn more about events and activities available online?
I think if you go to our website, it will lead you to our YouTubes. We have a lot of videos that we've done over the years. We have a lot of new podcasts. We had a great lecture series this past several months, and we've been doing special interviews and podcasts with some of the experts that we've had to come and lecture. So you could look at our podcasts, our YouTubes, and then follow us on our website, because we will be planning activities, and we're putting out a calendar of the special activities that we will be having and showing over, our webcast. So I invite people to go there and then follow the path to these different things.
Dr. Worrell, thank you so much for speaking with me today and for providing all these updates and information about Sea Alaska Heritage Institute. It sounds like there's a wealth of material online that can keep folks occupied.
Well, thank you very, very much. And be safe, everyone. Be safe.
Thank you. You as well. Have a good one.
Okay.